And Tommy Little. This is Carrie and Tommy.
Yeah, welcome to it for your Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, it's not just any Tuesday, Jesse. No. Give it a bit. Come on, do that again.
It's a massive show today.
Too much.
Well, it could be.
There is.
Talk to me.
$100,000.
That's a lot of dollars.
On the line. For our show over the next few weeks.
Yes.
And we are going to tell you later on today how you can get your hands on that money.
Absolutely.
It's the quick and easiest way to win $100,000.
Absolutely.
You don't have to be smart.
I'm in.
Why'd you look at me? You don't have to be smart. You're in.
No.
Bozo.
You don't have to be hot. You don't have to be.
Hey, all you ugly, dumb people listening.
You don't
even
have to,
you have a chance.
You don't have to be able to, like, do some cryptic puzzle thing. You don't have to be, like, I'm just trying to say to you that this $100,000.
What competitions on radio are only open to smart, hot people who have to do a cryptic puzzle to get the money?
That's actually. Should we do that?
No. No. Carrie will win.
Oh, no. No one hot can do a cryptic puzzle anyway.
Challenge.
But also, why would they need to?
No. They don't. They just get about being hot.
Who cares?
They have to do cryptic
I didn't
puzzles.
Even notice you were doing the cryptic, mate. Those eyes. Are you serious? Less of the paper, more at me, please. You dreamboat.
And never hot and smart. You know what I mean?
We're not going to stop down to tell you you're hot and smart, mate. Come
on. Yeah, also.
What am I doing now, guys? Oh,
also,
just a cryptic puzzle.
It's pretty rich from the person whose email address is hotandsmart70 @gmail.com.
Don't give away my age. We've discussed that. Anyway, we'll tell you how you can win
$100,000. And self-deprecating. God!
But up next, got to tell you about my holiday.
Okay.
Got things to discuss.
Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home from 3 till 6, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
So I was away over the holidays with my beautiful friend.
Whoa, humble brag. Let me guess, it's going to be with someone famous.
With my beautiful friend.
Oh, she's not going to give us a name anymore.
My friend. It doesn't matter if she's
Nicole
famous
Kidman.
Or not.
You don't have
she's
not famous friends.
Not that famous.
Did you catch up with Oprah again?
You said to me, I don't hang out with normies.
Oh my God, I've missed.
And so if you want to prove me wrong, who were you away with?
A girl called Fiona.
Fifi Box. Fantastic.
I was away with Fifi over the holidays with our families, our kids together. And that's not the point of this story. That was just to
we
set
get
the
it,
scene.
Mate. You got famous friends.
But
yes.
No, we were away together. And in fact, we don't even talk about famous stuff.
What's famous stuff?
No, but the idea that the friendship is different because we're famous is just crap.
I've heard both from both of you.
Like where our friendship is like rooted
built in
a
fame.
connection. And we talk about life and parenting and stuff. We don't like, oh my God, were you at the cocktail party on the weekend? We don't do that.
With who?
I don't know.
Were you at a cocktail
party? Famous friends because I don't have any.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
Only like Waleed and Pete and Rove and that's probably...
Yeah, when we interviewed Rove yesterday, when we stopped
and
on
Hamish
air
McDonald.
And you were like, Rove, we've got to have lunch. Oh, God, do you reckon there'll be pap?
Okay.
Have I done something wrong?
No, I Okay. When you say it like that, it makes it sound.
You only have famous friends. Yes.
I don't only have
Do you want to remain a famous friend? Because you're in dangerous waters here.
I'm not famous enough.
To be fair, I wouldn't even put him in the famous category.
When we were on break the other day, I asked Carrie, I said, hey, do you want to grab lunch? And she said, you haven't been on TV in a year. No, thank you.
Anyway, yeah. I was away with my beautiful friend and we were staying in a bourrée.
A bourrée?
Is that a famous hut or something? What is it?
A bourrée for the bourrée.
And the hotel we're at.
Hooray for bourrée.
And mooney, am I right?
Oh, what is a bourrée?
So, what's a bourrée? At the hotel we were at, in Fiji.
Oh, do they have separate things for famous people?
It's a whole
rooms,
island.
And then they had bourrées.
What a bourrée is, Karen?
A bourrée is like a hut, right?
Why did you say a mansion?
Because they're called bourrées.
Are they? I've never heard.
When you book online, you're booking a bourrée.
You didn't book it.
When you pay famous people,
I absolutely didn't.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, some normie we had went, separate.
Oh, how do you spell bourrée?
We had separate bourrées.
Of course you did.
No, because we've got lots of kids. Okay, and they were all in the rooms with us. It doesn't have multiple rooms. It's one bed.
Oh, I'm sorry for not understanding what a bourrée is.
It's not nothing fancy. Okay,
a bourrée.
It's honestly not that fancy.
Oh, guys, we've got a housing crisis in the country. Have people thought about bourrées instead? Let them eat bourrée.
So, I haven't even got to the bit of the story I want to talk about.
I'm aware. Okay,
so, when I was looking through the amenities.
I was trying to tease you about sounding famous because you're actually a very humble person. But now as it goes on, you've gone into amenities at bourrées and it's very hard to...
No, I went to use a shower cap. I'm a big fan of a shower cap and I love when I get to a hotel and there's always a shower cap in the little box, okay? It's an important amenity to have. Yes. Women everywhere want shower caps as part of the amenities,
you
right?
You told me you have one of the help just hold your hair out of the water usually.
Anyway... But this is where I think the problem lies. The rest of the amenities are not amenities anybody wants.
Oh, the ear thing?
Earbuds, nobody wants them. Actually, occasionally I might want to take my makeup off. They can stay. The earbud things can stay.
Is that what they're for?
Yeah, makeup remover, because I often have the round pads as well.
Do you know what I've been doing with them? I stick them up my bum and then put them back in.
See, that's some real normal people stuff right there, because you could learn a thing.
When I'm in the bourrée, I stick it up my bourrée.
In your bootay, in the bourrée.
And then I just pop it back in as a nice little present for the next person.
No, but they're always new for the next person. They don't leave the amenities for the last person.
Not when I've been in the bourrée.
So I'm happy with the buds. But I think the thing that still is in every hotel, and I don't understand, because if I had to ask around this room when the
no
last
one here
time...
stayed in a bourrée.
What did you guys do in the bourrée? The what?
Oh, I live with my parents.
How do you spell it? A bourrée isn't that, it's not fancy. It's
131060.
Oh my God.
Have you stayed in a bourrée?
And if you can spell it, that'd be great too.
Oh, actually, can you spell it?
I got to the
Sorry,
point.
That great question. Can
B-U-R-E.
You spell
it? B-U-R-E.
B-U-R-E.
Hooray.
Boom.
No, it's a
I'm joking.
Nah,
it was
30 degrees. It was
I'm kidding.
Anyway, I've not got to the point of telling you the thing that
you told
I'll do
us where
next.
You stick the earbuds up.
No, I'll tell you next what I think is redundant. You don't care, do you?
I just want to know if people stayed in Hooray. 131060, give us a call.
Carrie and Tommy.
For your Tuesday arvo, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. And on 131060, have you been in a Hooray?
Okay, you're obsessed
it's not bourrée.
You're obsessed with bourrée chat. I want to talk to you about amenities.
Yes, I know, but it's just because you just casually said, so I was with my famous friend in a bourrée.
I never said that sentence.
No, sorry, you named her. I was with Fifi Box in a bourrée. We had separate bourrées, and I just never heard the word before.
Anyway, the amenity I think needs to go is the needle and thread. Because whenever
you get your assistants
on holiday by the beach and you go, oh, I might just tailor a suit this afternoon.
Yeah.
You do not need a needle and thread. Why? No one sews anything anymore. Although I did sew my son's school uniform the other day. But other than that, I'm not sewing on holiday or in a hotel.
So you think...
Get rid of it. And I think every single set of amenities needs to have a shower cap. I think they always need to have a toothbrush and toothpaste. Every single one needs that.
Toothbrush and toothpaste.
Yeah. How often do you forget it? Just put it, make it mandatory in all of it. It's just a little tiny one, little disposable one.
But you know, if you do forget it, you can just use the needle and just put a bit of, just get in there like
Just get a Q-tip.
Yeah.
Maybe they should stay.
That's good.
No, I just needle and thread, gone.
Gone. Yes. Okay, fair enough. Mm. What don't you want to see in your bourrée, Sinead?
We love a bourrée.
Have you stayed in a bourrée? Am I the only person? I'm not weird for not knowing this word, am I?
No. Well, I am a travel agent, so that does help. I do book lots of people into bourrées.
Oh, you say bourrée. Not a bourrée,
yeah,
a bourrée.
Yeah, we call it a bourrée.
I think you're calling it wrong
so
today.
Are you a, probably. You're a travel agent. Is another word for that a bourrée? Bureau.
Possibly, yes. Yes.
How popular are bourrées?
They are very popular because obviously we don't have them here. So having your own little hut, as Carrie said, with your hammock out the front, is definitely where I put people in Fiji.
A mock at a bourrée. Sinead, what is the difference for me, as I am obviously naive to the bourrée world, what's the difference between a bourrée and a hut?
No, well, it's very similar. They've got thatched roofs. They are quite nice, though, Carrie, inside.
Oh, so just a few hundred bucks.
I think you're playing it down a little bit.
No, to be fair, the ones we were in are halfway through a renovation. So it's...
Okay.
Well, can you renovate a bourrée? What didn't it have? The thatching? What was it missing?
The wall?
What are they renovating? Is there walls in a bourrée? Bourrée. Bourrée.
I've forgotten how to say it now.
Yeah, I don't know either.
There's walls. It's
Let's open a place called Pizza Bureau.
Why?
Pizza Hut.
Or a news bureau.
Hey, you should stay tuned. You could win the money
or
later on in the show.
Sunglasses Bureau.
It's good stuff.
Anyway. No, there's walls and a door.
I'm trying to think of others.
And a door. Walls.
What?
Jump at the bureau.
Jump at the bureau. It's excellent. Well done.
There is walls and a roof and everything. It's just that they call it in Fiji a bourrée. It is just essentially a hut.
But what was getting renovated? What did they think it needed?
I think it was looking a bit tired.
Don't you want your bureau to look tired?
Not really.
No, not you. Of course not. And certainly not Fiji Box. No way. G'day, Jamie.
Hey.
What have you got? We're talking bourrées and amenities. What have you got?
I was ringing regarding the needle and thread pack. Oh. I think it's essential. I actually had to use mine the other day. My underwire in my bra popped out, and so I was able to push it back in and sew it back together.
Well done, Jamie.
You're the first person since 1975 that has used a needle and thread, Jamie.
Jamie, when you did this, were you in a bureau?
No, I was in my house.
That's what I mean. I'm not saying needles and threads, Jamie, aren't relevant in life. I have a beautiful little kit that I sew things. But on holiday,
do you have a sewing kit?
I did. I used it to sew my son's pocket back on his shirt the other day. I've got a sewing kit. My nana. Do you want to hear a beautiful story?
My nana, one of the most beautiful things she ever gave me
for my birthday, was a little case. And in it, she'd bought every colour, thread, needles, buttons,
now
everything.
I see where you're inherited giving crap gifts from.
No. And so now...
Oh, my God. Nana, are you serious? A box of threads. You shouldn't have. But more than one colour.
No.
Wonderful.
And no, there's never a thread colour I don't have. It has, like, everything from Velcro in it to, like, elastic.
Oh, my God. Nana, hang on.
Because
did you get me Velcro?
Buttons, everything.
You should know.
Velcro. And it's been, you've been dead for years and I still haven't used it.
Every time I use it, which is often when you've got kids to sew things back together, I think of her and it's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, we think of her too because you bring her up every day.
I don't want to think of her on holidays. All I'm saying, I don't need a needle and thread on holiday. But I just don't think it's necessary.
Oh, so but you don't want to take it out of the bureau before I get there.
I do not want a needle and thread.
I can't think about my nana.
Sharon.
Hi.
Have you stayed in a bureau? Good stuff. She might have gone the way of your nana, I think.
Hello.
Hello.
Sharon.
She's back.
Hi, I'm here.
What's going on?
Yeah, Carrie, you're kind of right. I've stayed in a bureau and they're not all that fancy, but
I had, and I don't know if this was previously booked or it just happened, but we had a butler every night that came to our
room. Oh, yeah, we had the butler.
See, I knew you weren't telling the whole story.
Carrie and Tommy.
Be Tuesday, Arvo. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. Thanks to Australian Natural Gas. It's helping keeping the country running. Find out more at keepingthecountryrunning.com.au.
We ain't never.
Was that natural gas keeping you running there?
Yep, it was. I'm sure they love my voice attached to that.
Hey, Pickers, so much still to come in the show. We meet an absolutely amazing young person in the next hour that I really want to introduce you to. Mm-hmm. And also, up next, I mean, talking about young people, I've realised that Australia might need my help. And I'm looking at you. I'm looking at Pip Dog over here. I'm looking at Jez. I'm looking at all the people who have got up to the naughty stuff and had children. I'm here to help. That's next.
Okay.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
$100,000 on the line.
Ooh.
It could be yours. We'll tell you in a little bit over an hour, I reckon, how you can get your hands on that $100,000.
Or it might be sooner in case you're going to turn off the radio.
Could be next.
Wait. Could be next.
Mm. Well, that's when I'm going to say it. I don't know when you're going to say it.
Yeah, well, you know.
Or when Jesse's going to say it. He goes rogue.
I'm like a bull in a china shop today, so I could say it at any time. Bickers.
Yes.
I realise, and of course I don't want to talk, we mentioned my son, meeting my biological son, and I don't want to talk about that today because, as I said, some parts of my life can remain private, and that is my...
He doesn't have a biological son, guys, just in case you're listening and you're like, what
Gary,
the hell?
I said I would not like to continue talking about it, but I did realise upon reflection that I've actually never made a parenting mistake. And as I look around at you guys, I realise I'm the only one who can say that, honestly, hand on heart. And so I am here to help, being the faultless parent. I'm here.
An absent parent is not a parent.
I'm here to help.
If it is.
Well,
so,
it's in the title.
What?
Like absent parent. Otherwise, it'd just be absent.
Either.
I'm right. It annoyed you. It annoyed you because I was right.
No, it all annoys me. Because
once again, faultless.
Pretending you've got a son you don't have, which is not funny. It's actually not funny.
That's hurtful.
You used your friend's kid to troll the internet and absolutely.
I used my kid.
I don't want
to talk about it. Anyway.
How does the actual father of the kid feel?
I'm here. You're looking at him and he feels angry that you're not respecting my...
Okay, so what happens when that kid grows up and comes after his daddy's money?
I'll give him some.
You're just going to hand your money over to this random kid.
You know anyone that asks me for money, I just give it to them.
That is true.
Yeah. How much do you want?
$150.
Absolutely.
Oh, ask for more than that, Pip.
Too late.
Do $150,000.
So here's what I want to do. Because I am the only faultless parent here, I thought, what a great chance to share my wealth of knowledge. And so I would like to ask you guys, mistakes or advice, anything you need from me, I can lend you my knowledge.
Could you just give us your credentials?
Yeah, I'm a faultless parent. Can you listen?
I need more
That's
than that.
Something you should focus
Why are
on
you
more
faultless?
As a parent. Because I haven't made a fault yet. And you've made about three in the last minute. Gary, is there any... Oh, no, no. The room's got icy. And this is not an environment you should replicate in your home life, all right? So that's my first bit of advice for you. It should feel warm and loving. Unlike in here, where it's a bit icy. Carrie, would you like any advice, anything?
How do I get my kids out of my bed?
You can throw them, but put cushions around first so it's fun. Like they land and it feels like more wrestling than anything.
And then when they come back in and want me to keep doing it and keep doing it.
Yeah, because they always say more.
Finergan.
You would know that.
Finergan. I feel like Finergan might be the answer to a lot of questions.
It is.
Am I a good parent too now?
Do you know, though, in some cases, Finergan goes the other way, makes kids hyperactive?
It does. Yes. So
you shouldn't have told him the
information. No, I know this. And this is why you should test it. If you are going on a long haul flight and you are thinking of using Finergan on your child, you should actually do a test before you go on that long haul flight so you don't find out if it sends them the opposite way on there. Second piece of advice, hand it out. Ding, 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 ding. Pippa, Pippa, mother, father yes. to mother, mother to father. Would you like anything you need help with?
Yes. Can you please tell me how I can get my child to eat fruit and vegetables?
Oh, hide them in stuff. That's so easy.
Doesn't work. Tried it.
But you, I've eaten your cooking. Maybe get someone else to make it.
Okay, cool.
Do you know Jerry Seinfeld's wife on that?
No, I don't know her. Do you know her?
She is a cook and she has a cookbook out. Actually, this is like 30 years ago, but she had a cookbook out and she used to hide beetroot, pureed beetroot, in chocolate brownies because the kids would eat chocolate brownies and not notice that it was a dark brownie kind of ready colour. Beetroot. It's how you get to kids to eat beetroot.
You're just repeating the exact advice I gave.
I know. I'm saying, what great advice. And there's an actual example.
Oh, my God. Did you get that? Did you get that on tape?
Of a recipe that you can make.
Can we get an ISO of that?
We've done before. Let's keep it going. 13 10 60. Call us up. Any questions that you have about parenting, I am here to help. So give us a call.
Gary and Tommy.
Gary and Tommy for your Tuesday, Arvo. And is the bull in a china shop about to go off and tell us how we're going to get 100K?
Ooh, that is coming up very soon.
Not right now. Though.
Not right now. Because at the moment, I'm concentrating on being a faultless parent and helping all you others who seem to make quite a few mistakes.
I've just give the context that you're a faultless parent. If you hear that and you're like, well, he's a parent.
Can we not? Yes, I have a biological son and I don't want to keep talking about it. As I said, please respect my privacy.
Because if you've just joined us and you hear that, you're going to go tell everybody, did you know that Tommy has a biological son? You're going to very confuse people.
I do, but I don't want to talk about it. If that's okay, if you wouldn't mind respecting my boundaries, that would just be nice.
Why does it annoy me every single time? Like every time. Like there's no kid and there's no boundaries to respect and it's annoying.
It wouldn't be nice if I spoke about you like that. I appreciate the same in reverse, please. It's a professional relationship, but it's also a friendship. So that would be nice.
So isn't it, that tone?
Producer Lizzie.
Over like something that isn't a thing. It's not real. You're not a parent.
Producer,
you shouldn't be handing out advice.
Producer Lizzie. You just agreed before my advice was really
that
good.
That was good. Yeah.
Producer Lizzie, a very faulty mum. I'm here to help. What can I help?
In this case, you're right. I've started to give my son Henry my phone to watch shows while he has a nappy change. Mm-hmm. So he'll only go down for a nappy change if he has a show. So he goes, show. And now
that's
I need help.
Cute.
Like, I need help. I need him to cut down on his screen time. How do I get him to stop
Does
watching?
That mean the nappy changes go, what, for a full Bluey episode or what?
Yeah,
a
seven-minute seven
nappy
minutes.
Change?
He's just there going, like, show. He'll go nuts.
If you don't give it to him.
If I don't give it to him. Absolutely
tricky.
Nuts.
Just buy him a phone. What do you mean?
You've
got
down.
One.
No, I want to cut down on my screen.
Oh, so mum can have one, but not my kid. See, playing fair and teaching equality and equity is very valuable as well. So, you know, if mum's allowed to have a phone, well, maybe if you don't want him to have a phone, maybe set a better example and get off yours so much. You're welcome, YZ. G'day, Rachel.
Hi.
Are you a faulty mum?
Oh, of course. Show me one that's not.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to look. Rachel, do you have a question?
I want to know what you would do if your child was having a tantrum in the middle of the supermarket, everyone watching you and just giving you the glare. Because we can't smack our children.
No, you can't.
These days.
You can't. And so you can ask someone else to do that for you.
No, you
but
can't.
That is frowned
well,
upon.
Well, it's funny that you say that because when my sister was a toddler, a stranger went up to her when she was 2 years old and slapped her in the middle of the supermarket across the face.
Did it stop the tantrum?
I don't know, but I think that my mum was ready for blood.
So there is another, so that is frowned upon, and so that is not my advice to you, Rachel, but there is another method which I think is actually wonderful. You have to out tantrum your child because then they get embarrassed.
I actually did this when Ollie was a kid in a supermarket.
Are you saying it's another good bit of advice?
You obviously watched Rove back in the day because I've already told this story. So you've taken your advice from me, actually. What great advice.
Thank you. Good on you, Rachel.
It does work, though. You lay down and you start kicking and screaming and they look at you like, what the hell is mum doing? Stops the tantrum and they think weirdo and they walk away.
I'm sorry, Carrie. Again, you're just repeating the same advice that I said before. G'day, Dan.
Hey.
Do you have a question about parenting?
Yeah, I do actually. So my son Jeremy, right, will refuse to wear anything but Crocs. Yeah. As far to go where he only wears Crocs and socks to school. And I was asking if there's any substitute I can use other than Crocs so that he doesn't get in trouble at school anymore. See, the problem is that he believes that Crocs are the only form of enclosed shoes that are airy enough.
Yeah, he's
so correct. That his feet don't sweat.
Firstly, he's correct and he's a smart kid. Do the school have a problem with the Crocs?
Yes, they are starting to have a problem.
So this is when, Dan, unfortunately, I know you don't want to be a part of your child's education, but you actually have to get involved here and have a word to the school and say what he wears on his feet do not affect his learning ability, and so they need to get over themselves.
Yeah, yeah. So I've tried that, and I've even tried writing him a couple of notes because it's getting a bit out of hand. But, yeah,
but what
the school's pretty much said no more.
But no more, but he keeps doing it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so just teach him that some rules are stupid and you should always question authority and wonder what the reasoning behind the rule is and just keep sending him in Crocs. What are they going to do? They can't expel him for wearing Crocs.
Yeah, you're completely right.
Yeah, thank you.
Carrie and Tommy.
That is where you're at for your Tuesday afternoon, and there are still plenty to come, the Savo guys.
Yes, there is still plenty to come. Up next, though, because as you know, my Hoodies for Homelessness campaign is currently underway. If you want to check out the hoodies, all the profits go to an amazing course, cause of helping young Aussies currently experiencing homelessness find a pathway out of that. homie.com.au is where you go if you want to see that. But the next person that we are going to chat to, we spoke to earlier today. Xander hadn't been on radio before, and we thought we'd try and make Xander as comfortable as possible. Mm-hmm. And of course, we're talking about things that are very tough in this person's life. So if you're listening and you're like, it's impossible to end up homeless and it doesn't affect many people and the people that it does.
And it won't be me.
And it won't be me. We're about to introduce you to the most incredible young person mm-hmm. who's been through some very tough times and is now doing amazing. And that's next.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Your Tuesday afternoon, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
I did mention just before that earlier today we caught up with an absolutely amazing young person, and this is Zant. Now, as some people may know, tomorrow is Youth Homelessness Matters Day, and every year for the past few years we've been doing a campaign called Hoodies for Homelessness. It raises money to help young people doing it tough. And it's a wonderful campaign. And if you want to get involved, you can just head to homie.com.au to check out the hoodies. They're only available for a few days. All the proceeds go to help young Aussies who may be in a tough position. And also, each one that you buy, one gets donated from the lovely folks at Champion to a young person currently experiencing a bit of a tough time. And I'm very lucky because each year I get to meet some amazing young people that have gone through the program at Homie and are just beautiful souls. And one of those beautiful souls joins us now, Xander. Hey, Xander.
Hey, how are you going?
Wearing good. Your matching hoodies.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Ripping it.
Bro, you look so good.
You should have called each other before to discuss colours. You're both wearing the same one.
You should have, unfortunately.
Hey, Xander, what does youth homelessness mean to you?
Yeah. So youth homelessness to me, it is very important. One in four people experiencing homelessness in Australia are between the ages of 12 and 24.
Which 12 is wildly young.
Wildly, wildly young. It is a statistic that's only being exacerbated by the current housing crisis. Mm-hmm. More than ever, services are overwhelmed with young people who are unable to find or unable to afford safe accommodation and for them to be able to thrive instead of just live in survival mode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the most common misconception when I'm chatting to people is that it's hard to become homeless. I don't think people realize how easy and how just a few things can happen and then you can find yourself without a place. Would you say that is fair?
Absolutely right, Tommy. It's such a misconception that homelessness is something like a choice. It's not. It's a direct result of multiple factors and inadequacies in the system that ultimately lead people who are as young as 12 into situations where they're unsafe and homeless.
It makes me so angry as a country that we're okay with children as young as 12 living on the streets and having no home. But for people that fortunately aren't in that position and have a home and a place for their kids, can you paint the picture for us about what are some of the challenges and the things on a day-to-day basis, really basic things that we wouldn't even think about that homeless youth are dealing with or struggling with?
Yeah, absolutely. So even on the small, tiny scale things, it's where am I going to find food? Where am I going to find a shower? You know, do I have to pay for this shower? Where am I going to get the money to pay for that? If they're available, like you're lucky enough to have a car, where am I going to park my car? Do I have to sleep in my car? Situations like that, you know, do I have enough friends or support around me? And oftentimes these people don't have enough support around them. And that's what ends, you know, and that's what makes them end up sleeping in rough situations.
Can I ask you peculiar question?
Yeah.
But so with the change in technology, so everyone has phones these days, has phones made it slightly easier to then connect and find places and seek out things, or is even being able to in some capacity get hold of a phone, even if it's an old one, or enough to be able to get credit mean it's still not anything that's available to homeless people?
So it's very much a case-by-case basis.
Right.
The inclusion, I guess, of what is homeless is quite a broad spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there definitely are people who can't afford things like a phone or a phone plan.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes things like trying to get to a public payphone very hard,
yep.
trying to pay for things like that very hard. And oftentimes we see, you know, people on the street, that is what I guess you would call the most extreme version of homelessness and the one that's represented most in the media. But people like that are just trying to live their day, trying to eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's such a like steep drop off because as soon as I know from speaking to people, as soon as you don't have an address, people are like, well, why don't you go on benefits? And you're like, where are they going to send it? Where,
right.
even things like getting any type of mail, or if you go, well, I'm going to go what and rock up at a job interview, I haven't had a shower in 2 days and I'm on the street. It's so tough once those basic services are taken away.
Exactly. Once those basic essential needs are taken away, it's hard to function as a valuable member in society.
Mm. For yourself, then, can you tell us about coming into contact with Homie?
Absolutely. So I was accessing a community support service because I was experiencing homelessness at the time. And this support service referred me to Homie and said, we've got this great community program. You know, they're awesome. They help young people who are experiencing homelessness find a job and get back into the workforce. And I thought, amazing. Like, you know, I at the time I was very, I guess, despondent. I didn't really want to do anything.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah, because you've gone through this massive trauma, this massive experience, and you're thinking
the mountain ahead must just feel almost.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Homie really turned that around for me through their Pathway Alliance, to the point now that I've done my Cert 3 in business, and I'm doing right now.
Can you tell us a bit? I know about the Pathway Alliance, but for people who don't know, yes. Can you just tell us a bit about what it is?
Absolutely. So the Pathway Alliance is an opportunity, an educational opportunity for young people. They do a Cert 3 in business. That's what mm-hmm. we did. But at the same time, you do a work placement at one of our partnering companies. So the one that I worked for was Champion.
Yep, the wonderful folks who are donating a hoodie to a young person doing it tough for every Homie hoodie that he's bought.
Absolutely. And I learned so much through this entire program, through my time with Homie and with Champion. I've now gone working full-time in customer service.
Amazing.
And I'm going to do what I am doing, my diploma in leadership and management at the minute. So, you know, I've gone on to more meaningful work and further upskilling myself within, you know, I was homeless in 2022, 2024 now.
That's amazing. Now, if you just listened to Xander there and thought how awesome he now has a job, he's back on his feet, the future is bright. The next bit of this interview that you're going to hear up next, I think is going to make you as angry as it made me.
Yeah.
The number of years we've discovered it is going to take Xander to be able to have a permanent roof over his head is absolutely abhorrent.
Yeah.
It's made me want to go to the government and get very angry. And I know I'm one person and I probably won't be able to achieve anything, but it has infuriated me. And we want to share the rest of that interview and the amazing story of Xander with you next.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your Tuesday afternoon, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
And we are in the middle of a chat with an amazing young person named Xander. It is Youth Homelessness Matters Day tomorrow, and our Hoodies for Homelessness campaign is online now, homie.com.au, if you want to get involved with that. And we just learned that despite going through some very tough times, Xander, through the Homie program, is employed and doing great now, but that doesn't mean it is the end of challenges.
So what happens to where you live in that period? Like, how quickly do you then go from being homeless to being able to put a roof over your head? Is this a 2-year proposition, or once you start the program, then you start being able to get access to places to stay and live? Or
again, very case by case basis. I mean, going back personally to me, I live in something called a transitional housing program. So what that means is it's public housing that's offered for 18 months. However, that 18 months is coming up, so yeah. I do need to find my own rental. But other people might live in a place called the foyer, which again is more public housing. And those situations, you can usually stay for about 2 years. And the plan is to get into private rental at the end. However, the issue does therein lie where they're not able to get the rentals.
Because there aren't that many low-cost rentals available.
Yeah.
So even if you get to the position where you're earning an income that you could finally start, it's whether you can afford to have the type of housing that's available.
Exactly. I know in my personal experience in now applying for rentals, I'm not sure if it's where I'm getting my rental from at the minute, you know, being community housing, or what it is. I've tried to call a few landlords and the agencies and stuff, and they've all said, you know, it's our personal preference. We've just chosen someone else. But
are you saying the wild accusation that landlords sometimes are not the nicest people in the world?
Look.
But doesn't that suck when you think about it? Because you're in the situation now where, whether it's you or anybody, you finally have work. But now it's your past and your history plays a part in the now for you able to keep moving forward, to keep then coming back into society and all of that thing. Like, it's just, it's like one step forward, but one step back at the same time, because everyone has the views, their views might be outdated or ill-informed. And it's the chance. You need a chance.
Absolutely. It's very disheartening. And, you know, eventually I'm hoping that I'll get a chance to be into private rental. That's what I'm ultimately working so hard to get to. And
but so what happened, without being asking too personal a question, but for someone in your situation, say you can't get it, then what happens?
Then that becomes a situation. I'm currently on the housing register, but that is a wait of 18 years at the minute.
Oh, my God.
My friend Ian,
what?
He just got into a place, 23 years.
23 years then. It was 15 the last time I checked, but now it's 23. But again, that's a direct reflection of how many new people are coming in and accessing
homeless
services.
That's outrageous.
Yeah. So if I were, you know, the way the system's set up and structured, the plan is to go from THM.
Yeah.
If you can't find private rental, you go into, you know, public housing, the Victorian Housing Register. What do I do in the 23-year gap is the question.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Just sit it out.
Yeah,
mate.
I'll just hang out.
It'll be fine.
You're right. Exactly.
Insane, excuse my language. That is insane.
Yeah, it's up.
It's the reality of the situation, unfortunately, and it's something, I guess, that a lot of people who have this negative perception against homelessness and experiencing homelessness, you know, they just don't, I guess, perceive.
Of course. But unless somebody tells, like, I mean, people could do their own research. I could have done my own research to know that. But unless you understand an issue, then your view of an issue is just stuck with this misconception. And it's only through people like you talking about it, or you talking about it, Tommy, that you finally start. I wouldn't even have known that 1 in 4 homeless people were youth. Like, you don't know about it unless there's awareness, which is incredible that you're doing it. But
it's far easier to turn your head away from the problem than it is to take it in and realise that it needs to be addressed. Xander, can you talk to us for a second about, so Homie, we're trying to raise money where, as I said, 100% of the profits go to helping young people experiencing homelessness get back on their feet, and so they don't have to end up hopefully on a wait list of 20 years to get into housing. I imagine there would have been moments where you feel like society doesn't want you or doesn't care and would rather they turn their head away. Can you tell us about going into Homie for the first time and what you were met with and how that made you feel?
Absolutely. So my first interaction with Homie was at an information day where they came in and sort of introduced the program to us. It was very informal, but it gave us a lot of information. Everyone was just so lovely and so accepting. There was no sort of pressure to be a certain way or act a certain way. I think something that was said is like, we all understand you've all gone through, you know, hardships and hard experiences, but we're here to, you know, help you carry on to the future. And that's absolutely exactly what they've done for me, which I'll always be grateful for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's lovely to see your smiling face.
Thank you.
And I hope to see it a lot more in the future. Hoodies for Homelessness.
I'm just angry now. I mean, presence is beautiful, but the issue just made me so angry.
Yeah, you should be. Everyone should be.
Yeah.
The hoodies are only available for a few days. Like I said, all the money is going to a fantastic cause. And also, for every hoodie bought, there is one donated by Champion and given directly to a young person who is currently doing it tough. If you're angry like Carrie is, get online. Go to homie.com.au. Grab a Hoodies for Homelessness hoodie and do your bit if you are in a position where you can do that. Xander, you are beautiful and it's been nice to meet you, and thank you.
Thank you both so much for having us. Thank you.
Gary and Tommy.
It's Gary and Tommy for your Tuesday afternoon.
The Melbourne International Comedy Festival only has, this is the last week. It is the last chance if you are in Melbourne to catch my show. Tommy Little has a regular size deck. I would love to see you there.
Should we tell people why we're laughing?
Yeah.
Because one of our producers said, hey, Tommy, have you seen my cousin Vlad?
Do you know my cousin?
Do you know my cousin Vlad?
And I said, why?
And then Tommy goes, why? And I was like, do you have a cousin Vlad? And we talked about your cousin Vlad. Apparently, my cousin Vlad is the name of a great comedy show at the comedy festival. And she was meaning, have you seen it or do you know about it? But now
it just came out of nowhere. Hey, do you know my cousin Vlad? And I was like, that's weird. Yeah. Pippa, the whitest woman in the world, has a cousin called Vlad.
But could get confusing, because say you wanted to go see the show and you said to a friend, should we go see my cousin Vlad? And your friend would go, oh, cool, okay, I guess. And then they're rocking up going, where's Vlad?
But also,
not knowing they're going to see a comedy show.
See Tommy's show too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pippa's cousin.
Yeah.
Go see Vlad and Tommy.
Yeah. No, just see Tommy. I mean, sorry.
Tommy's more likely to have a cousin Vlad.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Hey, $100,000. How do you win it? We tell you next.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your Tuesday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Well, well, well.
Is the moment upon us, because
I think it's time to find out how you could win $100,000.
It's a simple game. A game invented in the darkest of days in lockdown in 2020.
If you had to guess from now to now, how long do you reckon that was?
3 seconds. Good. Okay, so when I say go now, but don't count your head.
Guess now. Am I counting my head?
Yes.
I was, damn it!
Ready, set, go.
Okay. Are you going to fill the silence here, mate?
I'm counting my head.
It's so simple, yet so brilliant. Can you say stop?
Stop.
On exactly 5 seconds?
It's just 5 seconds.
Stop.
Stop. A bit late, I think.
6.30.
Stop.
Oh. Say stop when 5 seconds is up.
Stop. 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 Stop.
5.14.
Oh.
Oh. Oh. It was a verbal from the ferret. Stop. That felt good to me.
Oh. 5.98.
Not good enough.
Not 5.01 seconds. Not 4.99 seconds. 5 seconds. Exactly. This is Carrie and Tommy's Time Game. Sounds easy, but has only ever had three champions, three masters of time. First, there was Time Master Nick.
5.0.
Oh my gosh.
Zero.
Then Time Master Daniel.
5.0. Zero.
And then the most beloved of them all. Time Master Rachel.
G'day, Rachel.
Hello.
Rachel, what are you going to spend $50,000 on?
Well, I'm currently homeless, so a caravan and a car would be lovely.
Rachel needed $50,000 for a caravan to live in. The stakes had never been higher. But Rachel, God bless her sweetheart, was one with time.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Start.
Stop.
That felt so good.
Oh, my
that
gosh.
That felt so good.
I'm shaking.
Oh, my gosh.
Rach, I wouldn't believe what had happened if I haven't just seen it. Jesse, we've heard 5.0 so far. What is the...
How did Rachel go?
Last name.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
In the biggest moment in Drive Time Radio history, Rachel won $50,000 in the Time Game's biggest ever jackpot.
Rachel! Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Rach, congratulations. You've just won yourself $50,000.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
So, where do we go from here, friends? What to do next with the most simple, most brilliant game in radio history? Well, there's only one thing Carrie and Tommy can do. They have to go bigger. They have to go 100,000 times bigger.
What are you waiting for?
Carrie and Tommy are upping the Time Game jackpot to 100,000.
Oh my God!
Welcome, my friends, to Carrie and Tommy's $100,000 time game.
What are you waiting for?
Oh, well, I mean, that was a wild ride. We're meant to be excited.
Broken.
We're both crying listening to Rachel again. I think having chatted to Xander before as well, like just hearing Rachel then, it was life-changing for Rachel and it could be life-changing for you. $100,000 is on the line. And this little game has luck around it, okay? So there's lots of games on radio and they just don't go off. This game seems to keep going off, and it goes off in the most unusual circumstances. It went off on the day that I doubled it.
Yes.
Much to the disappointment of my bosses. Yes. Doubled it because I thought it can't go off, and then it went off.
Or yes. Tripled it.
Yeah.
You tripled
Did
it.
Did I?
Yeah, you seem sorry. To watch that part out.
Just rewriting the narrative.
And of course, because we usually only play the time game once a week, but when we've got $100,000 on the line, as we do now, we're going to be playing every day. All you have to do is you have to listen to Brekkie in the morning, whatever part of the country you're in, listen to your respective Brekkie shows, and they will tell you how to get onto the standby list, and you will be joining us to play for $100,000.
This is very confusing for Eli, our web guy, because he usually wants this video to put online to say, oh my God, it's the 100K time game. But the video just has super crying.
I know. Hearing Rachel
it's not going to have that package in the video online that we just heard. So people are like, why are they crying?
Yeah, it's just a very upset looking man and woman giving away $100,000.
Anyway, we want it to go to you. So listen every day. Get on board to play. We can't wait to give 100K away.
Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home from 3 till 6 for your Tuesday arvo. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Do Carrie and Tommy know about songs and hits? When it comes to music, do they know their stuff? Have they paid attention to the music through the years? It's time now for the music trivia quiz. I said it's time now for the music trivia quiz.
Electricity generated by Australian natural gas is an important backup for renewables to help deliver reliable electricity.
Vickers, would you like to know your era?
Let me guess. Is it the 2000s?
You're correct. It's the 90s.
Oh, I like the 90s.
This song became a worldwide dance craze in 1996. Hey, Macarena. Who was the artist?
Yeah. Artist wasn't memorable, but the name was.
Do you know, hey, La Cucaracha? Do you know that's just the cockroach?
La cockroach.
It's just the cockroach.
Oh,
isn't it so funny?
I thought it was about like cooking. La Cucaracha.
La Cucaracha.
La Cucaracha.
But it's funny because if you were just singing, you just went, the cockroach. The cockroach. It's not going to be.
I don't know who sings Macarena.
You don't?
No.
Oh. Next question.
Who is it?
No, it's Los Del Rio.
Oh, Los Del Rio, yeah.
Of course.
Is it Los Del Rio? We've got Los Del Mar on here.
Oh, well, my sheet says Los Del Rio. So we've lost the answer. featuring Smells Like Teen Spirit, how many tracks did Nirvana's groundbreaking album Nevermind? How many tracks are on the album, Carrie?
Is this because it's a memorable thing? Like it was a famous thing because it had lots of tracks or
not
a lot of tracks?
No, but can I give you another interesting bit of track information? So,
can you answer that bit first? Is that why it's interesting or they've just picked an album and said how many tracks?
Yeah, they've just picked an album.
It's not like it was well known for being the one that only had three tracks or the one that...
No. But would you like to know a fun track bit of fact? Track fact. They used to make track one of the... biggest, they assumed, singles from the album. So it started with a bang. But they also used to do that with track six. Why do you think that would be?
To make you listen all the way through to get to the other one you like?
No, because back in the day it was vinyl. And so track six would be track one, but on the other side. So you'd start with a bang and then you'd start with a bang. There's a fun fact track for you. How many tracks on Nevermind?
Eight.
12. You are zero from two.
Please, it wasn't my era.
You also guessed the era wrong. Zero from three. Name two bands from the 90s that feature either a fruit or vegetable in their name.
Oh, a fruit or vegetable in their name. Smashing Pumpkins.
Well done. Absolutely. We've got one.
Fruit. Bananarama.
Oh.
No?
Are they from the 90s?
No, they're probably from the 80s.
Are you going to sing a song, Elo?
Sing it. Give me a clue.
Someone you travelled with recently.
Someone you travelled
with recently.
Fifi Bob.
Fiona Apple.
Fiona Apple.
Fiona Apple.
Fiona Apple.
Is that a person?
That's not Apple.
No, these are bands.
Drinking strawberry wine together. That's not them. Is it?
No, Fiona Apple's a singer.
Oh.
What about, and I might get this wrong, what about Zombie?
Oh, Cranberries.
Ballet. What year in the 90s, this question's funny, what year in the 90s was this song released?
I think 97.
1999, that's correct. Well done. Finish the lyrics to this song. It's all good from Diego to the Bay. Your city is the bomb if your city making pay.
What am I doing?
Finishing the lyric.
Do you want
over to you.
The lead up.
Can you give me the? Can you give me a bit of the tune?
You know this.
It's yeah, I can't remember. Song. I know. Can you just give me the? I can't think.
Yeah.
It's all good from Diego to the Bay. Your city is the bomb if your city making pay.
California knows no. how to party.
What are you doing with your fingers? You're throwing them up.
Am I?
If you, and it rhymes with pay, if you feel like
say
I do,
yay.
The same way. Well done, correct.
Throw up a finger if you feel the same way. Straight foot in town for California, yeah.
Oh, well.
Well done. Magic. You got 22 out of 8.
Carrie and Tommy.
So I've been told we have the most fabulous time-related songs in Back to Back to Back today in honour of our 100K time game.
Whoa.
It all kicks off tomorrow. We're going to play every day and we're going to give everyone the chance to play for $100,000. You just got to listen to Brekkie tomorrow morning to join the daily standby list.
Yep.
And then you can play our $100,000 time game.
Yes. And Bickers, in time game, they're all time themed songs. Are you playing them for just 5 seconds each?
No. Songs these days are quite short, but not 5 seconds.
Okay.
Do you think, what do you think will be in there? Tick. Tick tock, tick tock.
That's
be in
a
there?
Good one. Actually, that one that you played, Dickers, as well.
What do you mean?
Clocks.
There's one in it. Yeah.
Oh, what about time after time? Or is that from too long ago? Cindy Lauper. No, Pip's looking at me like you idiot.
Hang on. Is there any Burt Bacharach in there? Have we got the big bopper coming up?
We are starting with TikTok. To get to the good stuff faster, start at budgettrucks.com.au.
Carrie and Tommy.
Across Australia for your Tuesday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Carrie, I've been very selfish, and this guest that we are about to bring on the show, I just really wanted to chat to. I grew up in a Collingwood jumper that had number 35 on the back. The 1990 grand final was the most watched thing in my house for a good 10 years until the point where it wore out the tape.
How many times can you watch a grand final?
Honestly, I've watched that grand final probably 200 times.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, he has just been booted from I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, which is back from 7:30 p.m. tonight on Channel 10. But again, I just really wanted to chat to him. It's AFL legend Peter Dacos.
Oh, Tommy, Carrie, how are we? Thank you for having me on.
Mate, have you even watched that game 200 times?
I've just beaten that. I've probably watched it 2,000 times. It's never far from the outstretched arm. So no, look, my football life. I mean, it's a one constant that is continually sort of brought up. No matter where I travel, far and wide. I mean, there's always a Collingwood supporter. Sort of talking about it. So, yeah, no, it's the year I remember most.
Well, seeing you, Dakes, I was lucky enough to have lunch with you one day, and it quite genuinely, it was like what I can imagine people feel if they see like an incredibly rare animal in the wild. I was just like, oh, my God, Dakes is here. And so then when I watched the first episode of I'm a Celeb and you were on it, I was like, Dacos! And then that was immediately replaced with rage when one of the influencers, he was like, I don't know who that man is. And I was screaming at my TV. I was like, that's Peter Dacos. How dare you? He's a god in this country. Were you offended that you, to some people on the show, you were not known?
Oh, well, Tommy, and yes, I do remember our luncheon really well at the Marquee Lawn. It was great. I probably made more of a fuss about you than you of me. But having said that, I walked in, so we were on a par there with the other celebrities by way of, I had no idea who was who. Michelle, I'd seen and knew she was the fitness queen, but detail around specifics of around everyone there, I was oblivious. Stephen Amos, who is a world comedian, which I'd imagine you know, I had no idea. And then as time wore on, you know, that was the beauty of there were no distractions. So what we needed to do first up, because all we had were each other, was to get to know each other. And as time wore on, I mean, that's what got me through 25 days. We started peeling back layers off everyone, and it was really a fantastic experience. It's hard to put into words, but yeah, look, I was happy. I was happy that they didn't know who I was and that they weren't talking to me because of just who, you know, having been a footballer. They got to know me as a person. It was nice that I'm pretty confident I went away, you know, and they liked me for who I was, which was really nice.
I've got to say, I saw your son, I think it is, out and about around the town over summer, and everybody knew who he was. There was no going incognito there.
Yeah. Well, which one was that? Was it Josh or Nick Curry?
It was Josh.
Josh, okay. He has the bit of a growth and he has a baby face, and I think he's trying to make himself look a bit older. But he's all of 25, and he has got he's a bit of a has that young face. But having said that, yeah, look, no, the boys are they're recognised, and as I always say, they play with a big brand, and Collingwood does bring a lot of recognition.
Well, you are the most amazing thing for Collingwood. Not only an incredible player yourself, and you had kids like me all over the country wearing your number on their back, but then, of course, you're the golden goose because you've pumped out two current stars.
What are the chances? That's insane.
I know.
That both of them are good.
They're so good. Dux, is it a pleasure to go and watch your sons play and be so successful, or are you a bit like, I wanted to be the only star of the family?
No, Tommy, I'm going to answer it this way, and I've I think as a parent you want your kids to exceed you, and I honestly feel that, you know, they may not have achieved, you know, because my longevity, I mean, I was around for 17 years, so playing the game. So having said that, my record clearly would eclipse theirs at the moment, read games, go, goals, all that sort of stuff.
Well, Dakes, you're a wonderful footballer, but it's also a pleasure just to hang out. You're a wonderful man as well.
I'll stop sucking up. Sorry. Too much now.
You can catch I'm a Celebrity getting me out of here.
Back no 7, tickets. 7, no 7, tickets.
7, channel 10. Peter Dakos, thank you very much.
Yeah. Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on socials at Carrie Tommy Show.
Bye.
Bye.